mine eyes to the on my heart all week. Says you are, through it all, you are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. Oh, I lift my hands in so praise to thee. So
say this right now, say, I need the all. I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
my Savior, my Deliverer, my Healer, my Friend.
Somebody ought to be able to worship Him. Somebody ought to be able to worship Him.
I come.
Somebody ought to be able to say, I come.
To. I come to Thee.
Yeah. Somebody ought to be able to say, I need Thee. Every hour. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Come on and put those hands together and give God a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here today in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, I don't know what you come to do. Yeah, I said, look at somebody and tell them, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Let me see your hand if you come to praise the Lord. Give me a little more volume down here on the floor. I come to praise the Lord because this is the day. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't care what's going on in your life. I said, I don't care what's going on in your life. It's church time now. It's church time now. I don't care what problem you got. It's church time now. And since you're in church, you might as well get up off of yourself, get up off of whatever you own, and praise the Lord. This may be my last time. I don't know. But while I'm here, I come to praise the Lord. What about you this morning? I come to preach my sermon. I come to sing my song. I come to shout for joy. I come to run when I get happy. I came to praise the Lord. I came to call on Jesus. I don't care what's going on in your life. Mama said, if Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. Yes, He can. Praise the Lord. So happy to see all of you here today. Amen. I say I'm happy to see all of you here. I hope it's Palm Sunday. I say I hope it's Palm Sunday that's got you here today. Amen. Amen. I hear people saying they can't hear. People are saying they can't hear out there. And I know we're working with some new stuff today. So if you can let the people hear, that would be good. If you let me hear a little bit better, that will be good. Amen. Happy to have people in town for our 8th Holy Week of Sacrificial Worship. Amen. The 8th year. Amen. If the Lord let us see Friday of this year, of next week, that will be 40 days that we have come over an 8-year period for Holy Week of Sacrificial Worship. And for that, I say, God, I thank you that you allowed us, this church and me, to change the trajectory of Christendom in upstate New York. Because people come from Syracuse, Buffalo, and all of the cities in between to worship God. Not worship me, not worship you, but to worship God Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I don't do anything else, I say, God, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of a life-changing experience in upstate New York. And so in the morning, I'm going to try to get this plane up. This is not even a plane today. This is a helicopter. Amen. I'm going to try to get it up and get it down as fast as I can without compromising the Holy Spirit. And get you out of here so you can go eat dinner and go to bed. Amen. Now, in the morning, we've got great preachers. We got great preachers every day this week. Amen. I say we got great preachers every day this week. And Monday morning is no shorter than Friday morning. Amen. So I want you here. And if y'all come in the morning, there wouldn't be room enough to spare in this place. So I'm asking you to come Monday morning. Let's start this off Monday morning. Have to have Minister Winterbourne, LaPucelle, Harrison Jones. Amen. Amen. Happy to have him here. Minister Winterbourne has, since he left us last, published the book. And his book is going all over the country, and he's doing really well. Stand up so people who may not know you can celebrate the work that you've done. And then I'm happy to have Pastor Lavelle McMichael all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, with us today. He too has published the book, and it's entitled Transforming the Minds of Men, Maximizing Potential from Childhood to Manhood. And he has books with him today, and they will be with him this week. So please, ma'am, and please, sir, not just support preachers, but God is turning them into authors. Amen. Amen. And we watch them grow. I think Lavelle has been here almost as many years as we've been having, as we have been having Holy Week. And he was with me in Arizona speaking. And speaking of Arizona, not only are we having Holy Week of Sacrificial Worship starting here at 5 o'clock in the morning, but we are also having Holy Week of Sacrificial Worship in Tucson, Arizona. We brought it back to Tucson, Arizona. And so while we pray here, we'll also be praying God's success on Holy Week of Sacrificial Worship. So please, ma'am, and please, sir, take this book with you. I'm hoping our men will use it in one of their studies. I want to go to a message today. For the last 25 years, I've preached the triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. The Lord has taken me to another piece of the text in the New Testament that I wanted to look at today. And it's Mark chapter 15. And let's see, I believe, because I sure can't see this. So I believe it's verse 20. If you start me with verse 20, I'll find the verse that I'm looking for. Mark chapter 15, verse 20. If you can take me to verse 20, we can start there. Amen. Well, I'll take it right there. There we go. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21 says, then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. I wanted to just spend some time today with that cross, because we don't hear a lot about the cross anymore. Amen. So I want to talk about the message from the cross. Say it with me, the message from the cross. I guess one of the songs that we learned early in church was, Jesus, keep me near the cross. But I really believe the truth of the matter is we really didn't put a lot of effort in discovering what it is to be near the cross. It's a wonderful hymn. It sounds good. Often it makes us feel good. And we just start singing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. But as I've looked at this text leading into Palm Sunday, leading into Holy Week, leading into Easter, there's much to be said about the cross. We have become accustomed, very accustomed to the cross. We see crosses every day of our lives. Many churches have them atop their steeples. There's one right behind me right now, a very beautiful cross. And if you're in this church at night, there's nothing more beautiful than this cross as it's lit up, representing the cross of Calvary. There's a cross on many of your necks today as you adorn yourself with your jewelry. You have a cross on your neck. I'm not against seeing the cross in the church, seeing the cross on your neck, seeing the cross in your ears. But I did want to tell you, as I've looked at the text today, many of us have become as accustomed to the cross as we are any other symbol. And actually, it can lose its power in our lives if we become so familiar with the cross. Yes, Jesus, keep me near the cross. But Lord, don't ever let me forget what the cross teaches, what the cross represents, what the cross is all about. Don't let me become desensitized to the cross. Don't let me become insensible to the cross. Don't let me become anesthetized to the cross, meaning I can act like I act in front of the cross, just the same as I act when there is no cross to be found. For many, the cross is nothing more than a piece of jewelry that is used to adorn our necks and our ears, to make our bodies look good, to cause people to say that's nice jewelry, and even to get some people to ask, is it real? Some see the cross as kind of a good luck charm that contains a supernatural power. They hang it over their bed, or they carry it around to kind of ward off evil. The cross is, to some folks, it's offensive to some people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul calls the cross a stumbling block. And this word comes, stumbling block, comes from the Greek word skandalon, which is meant a trap or a snare. It came to mean something that trips a person and causes them to fall. Well, I don't know about you, but if I do fall, Lord, let me fall at the cross. We get this English word scandal. We get this English word scandal from this word scandalon. The Jews, to the Jews, the cross was a scandal. They could not conceive. They could not conceive of the Messiah being nailed to the cross. They literally stumbled over the cross. And so the cross is, it's offensive to some people. But not only is the cross offensive to some people the cross is foolishness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. The Greeks considered the cross to be foolishness. The word comes from the Greek word moraia, which comes from the English word moron. And so the sophisticated Greeks looked at the Savior dying on the cross, and they declared it to be a moronic foolishness. But for a few, the cross is an object of power, and it's an object of wisdom. How do you know? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says that those who have grasped, and I wish and I hope I'm talking to somebody who can at least grasp the true message of the cross and understand that it is not weak and it's not foolishness. The cross is the power of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. It is the power of God because through the cross, God forever destroyed the kingdom of Satan. He did that through the cross. God broke the grip of sin through the cross. And it is the wisdom of God because in the cross, God accomplished salvation for his people. I'm saved because of the cross. You are saved because of the cross. And if you are not saved, you will get saved. The invitation to salvation is there at the cross. Am I talking to somebody who can say, at the cross where I first saw the light? If you are saved, rejoice in what God has accomplished at the cross. If you're not saved, you really need to hear this message today. Help me to examine the message of the cross, so that when we sing Jesus keep me near the cross, you will understand that there is more. It's more than just a hymn that we sing. It's a message. And it's not just the message from the hymnal. It's not just the message from the writer of the song. It's a message from the cross. What's the message from the cross? One, it's a message of torment. How do you know? Because verse 20 says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes and led him out to crucify him. Now skip down to verse 24. It says, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garment. They cast lots upon them, and every man would take a piece of his garment in mockery of Jesus. Look at verse 25. It says, and it was the third hour they crucified him. Now notice the message of the cross is a message of pain. So when you say, Jesus, keep me near the cross, you're really saying, keep me near the pain. The message of the cross is the message of suffering. And so when you sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross, you're really saying, Jesus, keep me acquainted with suffering. Keep me acquainted with pain. When you say, Jesus, keep me near the cross, you're really saying it's the message of death. Because at the cross, there was pain. At the cross, there was suffering. At the cross, there was death. Three times we're told in these verses 20, 24, and 25, three times at the cross, Jesus is said to be crucified. Verse 20, it says, they led him out to crucify him. Verse 24 says they crucified him. Verse 25 says they crucified him. Three times the word means, when it says crucified him, it says they nailed him to the stake. And I wonder now, do I have anybody singing, Jesus, keep me nailed to the stake? That's it, Blue. Jesus, keep me nailed to the cross. Even Jesus himself humbled himself on the cross. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus dropped his head. Jesus begged for his Father. And sometimes God will hang you on the cross to humble you. Sometimes God will hang you on the cross even to cause you to call upon the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The death Jesus died was a horrible death. It was a painful death. We celebrate Easter in such a beautiful way, but there's really not much beautiful about a beauty in Easter except he rose. I mean, coming up to Easter Palm Sunday, we celebrate it in a glorious way. We get new clothes. More people come to church. We are happier on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but this was not a happy time. The death Jesus died was horrible. It was painful. It's in this verse that we get the word excruciating. Comes from two Latin words, ex, which means out of, and cruciare, which means the cross. Death on the cross was so painful that it came to be associated, that it came to be associated with any pain that came, that caused extreme suffering. Childbirth, I'm told, is, and I can only go by what they tell me, they say it's excruciating pain. A kidney stone, I can only go by what they say. They say it's excruciating pain. Biting your tongue, anybody ever bit your tongue? That's excruciating pain. Surgeries, I never had surgery, but I'm told that surgery, those are excruciating pain. Take the worst pain that you have ever experienced in your life, multiply it 10,000 times, and you still can't come close to the pain that Jesus endured on the cross. When Isaiah looked into the future and saw the death of the Messiah, he described it as best as he could. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, he says, he is despised When they saw that crown go down on his head and crunch down into his brain, Isaiah says he's despised and he's rejected of man of men. Isaiah says he's a man of sorrow. Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 3, he's acquainted with grief. He says in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, he says he bore our grief. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he was not hanging there because he had done wrong. He was hanging on that cross because I had done wrong and that I would do wrong. He was hanging on the cross because you did wrong. And some of us won't say amen to Jesus hanging on the cross. But you know what? You know what? I don't care how tough the story is. All you got to do is keep reading. You know, sometimes when I'm watching a series and I see my character going down, I just can't take my man or my woman going down. I have to run ahead to the end series because I can't see my man going down. And when I looked at Jesus bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows and being stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, I read ahead of the story. And that's when I got happy because I saw me there. It says in 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed. And that's when I began to feel a little better. That's when I felt like I don't have to carry the pain. I don't have to bear the burden. I don't have to carry the load because he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And so whoever's going through this morning, lighten up off yourself. Get up off yourself, because the burdens that you carry right now, Jesus was wounded for that reason. And so to this suffering, Jesus endured before he was nailed to the cross to die. Mark chapter 14, verse 65. Can you just kind of listen a little bit? He was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted. He was beaten by the temple guard. He was taken to Pilate, where he was abused by Pilate's soldiers. Mark 15:15 says they scourged him. Mark 26:67 says they spit upon him. Matthew 27 verse 35 says they platted a crown of thorns and locked it down in the bones of his head. And Mark 15:20 says they led him out to be crucified. John 19:25 says they even pulled the hair from his beard. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is what you're going through ain't really much. Yeah, I guess that's all I'm trying to tell you is what you going through ain't really much. He was sentenced to die. He suffered. He carried his cross along the Via Dolorosa. The cross is not just a trinket to be worn around our necks. The cross is not a charm to be used to ease our superstitions. The cross is not an idol to be worshipped. The cross is a symbol of God's love for us. So if you're going through pain in your life, remember the cross. He loves us. Remember the cross. He cares for us. Remember the cross. He holds us in the palm of his hand. And so there's the message of torment. But look again at the message of tragedy. Jesus hung on that cross. He gave his life for the... Are y'all all right? He gave his life for the lost. His enemies circled him like a flock of hungry vultures. They hated Jesus. They made fun of Jesus. They taunted Jesus until he died. Look at the language. Come here. Come here. How do you know? Look at the language that the Bible says they used. Look at verse 20 and verse 31 says they mocked him. Mocking means to play with him. It's the idea of making fun of a person with whom the desire to harm exists. They mocked him. But not only does it say in verse 20 and verse 31 that they mocked him. Look at verse 29. It says they railed him. That means they blasphemed. That blaspheme. That means they said evil things about a good person. That's not all it said. It says they wagged their heads, their hands at him. They taunted him. They told him, come down from the cross if you really are who you say you are. I'm talking to some folk in here that's been going through something, and people know that you go to church, and they'll tell you in a minute, I mean, you call yourself a Christian. Why are you having so many problems in your life? You call yourself a child of God. Why are you having death in your family? Why are you having a tragedy? Why your house burned down? Why your refrigerator go out? Why your friends turn on you? Why did you lose your job? Why is sickness in your body and you call yourself a child of God? They said, they even told Jesus, they said, now you saved other folks. Save yourself. If you really are the Son of God, you saved up. Didn't they say, you saved other folks. Now save yourself. It seems in the attitude of the Jews toward Jesus, the cross, listen, come here, listen. The cross was never plan B. I mean, Jesus came into this world for the purpose. It wasn't like, if I can't save the world, I'll go to the cross. It wasn't like I'm going to go to the Mount of Transfiguration and I'm going to preach the goodness of God. And if that doesn't work, no, the cross was never plan B. God never had a plan B for Jesus. God only had plan A. But listen here when I tell you this. I'm so glad that in God's plan A, Devin Stitz was in plan A. Ivina Grantham was in plan A. Hugo Divers was. What I'm trying to tell you is we're not plan B. There's always a plan B when it comes down to what we're going to do. Well, here is plan A. And here is plan B, and here is plan C, and if this doesn't work, do that. That's not how God had it in mind when he bore his son Jesus Christ. Jesus always came. I can't believe you sitting there on this good preaching today. I can't believe you sitting on this. Jesus always came with you in mind. Jesus always came with me in mind. Jesus always came to go to the cross so that you wouldn't have to go to the cross. Now come here. I know you think you're on the cross. Some of you think that I'm on the cross, but I came to look at the text and I came to know that you are not on the cross and I'm not on the cross because Jesus is on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 11 says the Jews could have received him, but they rejected him instead. What a tragedy. It's a tragedy to reject Jesus. And so in this text, there's the message of torment. Are y'all all right? Y'all so tight today. Get up off me and let me preach this sermon. There's the message of torment. There's the message of tragedy. But also in this text, there's the message of transfer. Can I get one witness here today? After man had done his best to ridicule the Lord Jesus, trying to get Jesus to say, I quit. Trying to get Jesus to say, this is too much. You see, you got to be careful when you mess with God. After man had done his best to get Jesus to quit, guess what God did? God turned the lights out on the cross. I mean, it is said that God was saying, all right, yo, you mocked him enough. You've taunted him enough. You've lampooned him enough. You've scorned him enough. You've ridiculed him enough. You've called him a Beelzebub. You've lied on him. Come on, help me preach. You've lied on him enough. And when God says that's enough, can I get one witness who understands when God says that's enough, then that's enough. There will come a time in your life when God says that's enough. In those hours of, I could stop, but I feel like preaching today. In those hours of darkness, Jesus suffered the worst of torments. And in those dark hours, your sins and my sins, this is the part that I got happy, y'all. In those darkest hours, your sins and my sins were transferred from me to Jesus. You know, you thought it was tough. I watched the passion of play, the passion of Christ, and I watched them go through and I watched them beat him, and it hurt to watch my Savior being beat. But what I discovered from the cross, that when he took that last lick, that lick was for me. Come on, help me somebody. That lick was for me. What I'm trying to tell you is all of my sins were transferred. Well, I know why you're not saying anything, because you self-righteous, you have not sinned, and you have not come short of the glory of God. So it does not mean anything that the cross represents the message of transfer. But I'm here to confess I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. There are some things that I should have done that I didn't do. There are some things I did do that I shouldn't have done. But I don't have to let that haunt me because of the message of transfer. What I'm trying to tell you is, stop playing with my mic. What I'm trying to tell you is, put it back where it was. He took our place on the cross. He died our death. He suffered our hell. He paid our price. Look, sit there. I just need to shout. Give me. I need to shout. Sit there and act like it doesn't mean. I'm gonna say it again. He took our place. Wait. Where Jesus was on the cross, you should have been there. But he took our place. And when Jesus died on the cross, you should have been dying. And when Jesus suffered hell, you should have been suffering. And when Jesus paid the price, you should have been paying it. Give me a little mute. I just want to damn. Yeah. I'm gonna dance this one. I'm gonna shout this one by myself. I gotta go. It's the message of torment. It's the message of tragedy. It's the message of transfer. I know you think a sermon ought not have but 3 points, but I'm going on. It's the message of triumph. 6 hours on the cross, he dismissed his spirit. He knew that the price of sin had been paid. God was satisfied. John 19:30 says, the Jews did not kill Jesus. The Romans did not kill Jesus. I know you're wondering who killed him. Didn't nobody kill him. He humbled himself. That's the message of the cross, is to humble yourself. He humbled himself. He became obedient. Didn't I just tell you that it was not plan B? He was being obedient to his father. Philippians chapter 5, verse 2, verse 5 and 8, chapter 2, verse 5 and 8 says he was just being obedient unto death. The words of Jesus from the cross were not, come here, it was not the words of a victim. Stop walking around feeling like you've been defeated because a little trouble come your way. Stop walking around with your head down because a little trouble come your way. If you've been born again, trouble coming. If you love the Lord, trouble coming. If you walk by faith and not by sight, trouble coming. If you don't mind the world knowing, whose side you're on. Trouble coming. It's coming. He did not say, listen, he did not say, I am finished. I mean, when Jesus spoke from the cross, he didn't speak like a big thumb. He spoke like a victor. And when you leave this place today, I don't care what's going on in your life. You're not on the cross. Don't walk out of here feeling like the victim. Walk out of here feeling like the victor. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Can I get you to help me say, I'm not the victim. I don't care if I don't have lights in my house. I'm not the victim. If I lose my job, I'm not the victim. If I lose my life, I'm not the victim. I'm the victor. I believe I got one more thing to tell you. The message of torment comes from the cross. The message of tragedy comes from the cross. The message of transfer comes from the cross. The message of triumph comes from the cross. There's another message from the cross. The cross of Jesus was far. Here it is. It's the message of testimony. Yeah, that's why some of you sitting there and won't bow your head, won't shake your head, won't say amen, because you need a testimony. And sometimes God will send you through something. Not because he's mad at you, not because he's weary with you, but you need a testimony. Can anybody here say, I got a testimony, and my testimony, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Come here, come here. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I'm done. You sitting there waiting on me to get happy. I was happy when I opened up the text and when I saw what he done for me, when I saw what the cross meant, when I saw how good the Lord had been, I said, Jesus, keep me. Jesus, keep me. Can I get a witness? Come here, come here, come here, somebody. Come here, somebody. And help me say, Jesus, keep me near the cross. In other words, you're saying, Jesus, keep me humble. You're saying, Jesus, keep me obedient. You're saying, Jesus, keep me walking by faith and not by sight. Now, some of y'all ain't nodded your head. Some of y'all ain't said amen. But can I get a witness? You act like the cross don't mean nothing to you. But it was at the cross. Come here, come here. If you don't mind, point to the cross. Just point to the cross. If you've been born again, just point to the cross. Just point to the cross and say, it was at the cross where I first saw the light.
At the cross, where I first saw the light. Oh, God is good. God is good. Amen. God is so good. We're reminded that it was Jesus who bore our sins. Amen. It was Jesus who did that just for us. laid down his life for us. And it wasn't plan B. It was plan A. God put that in place at the foundation of the world because he knew that we would be in need of a savior. Amen. Oh, the doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open now. And if there's anybody here today, Lord, anybody here who does not know the Lord Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, we invite you to come now and give your life to Jesus, because Jesus gave his life for each of us.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus every day of my life to walk.
Will there be one?
Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand.
We invite you to
hold
come.
Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus every day of my life. Don't leave me alone.
Anybody say that?
Don't leave me alone.
Don't leave me alone.
Please don't leave me alone. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus walk with me. Walk with me.
We thank God for the word today, a word that reminds us of the goodness of God. He's been so good to us. He's leading, guiding, and directing, and God is ever in control. Amen. Amen.
God.
Us, and as Pastor mentioned earlier, and again, we want to do things decent in order, so I apologize, Pastor. But again, Maundy Thursday is this Thursday, and as we know, this is Holy Week, so it is a sacrificial week, so it's going to be held here, and I do believe Minister Reginald Reed will be carrying the message on behalf of that event. Also, we want to render a prayer on behalf of the Palms. As a symbolic gesture towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he paved his way humble. And so we want to ask for a prayer for the Palms. And once the prayer is rendered, I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward and you'll receive your palms at the end of the service. Amen? Let us bow. Gracious Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to look towards the cross, Lord. Not in gesture, Lord, but in love and honor of you who gave your life for us, Lord. We take it and impart it in our heart, Lord, for you gave your life for us, Lord. So as we give out the palms, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them, Lord. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Monday, Thursday service is Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock in the morning. Even though we all say I'm coming tomorrow night. It may feel like night, but it's 5 o'clock